Words for Life is by Reverend Kevin Pedersen of Ormond Anglican Church here in Melbourne.
The book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 to 27. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid."
Well, we're thinking about the Comforter. One of the most dangerous times in the week at Ormond Anglican is the kids' talk. And the Greek for that is paraclete, but of course they were talking about their parakeet this morning, which made things a little bit difficult. We're going to pray, and we're going to think about this great gift of God to his church. Father, thank you for those words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Thank you for the peace you give, a peace which the world cannot give. Thank you for the great gift you gave us in your Son and his transforming work in our lives and then through the lives of his people into the world. Thank you, Lord, that this work continues and that it involves us. We are part of it. So now, Lord, be at work in us, even as we hear your word and consider what it means to have this advocate, this comforter, this counsellor, this coach, this helper, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. And that hearing from you, we might go on our way encouraged. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this series just continues to surprise. I thought I'd be here this evening talking about this great thing the Holy Spirit does in comforting us, but I'm not going to talk about that at all. Today we go deeper and we move on from the action of the Holy Spirit on us to his presence within us. That's the movement of the passage. That's the key thing Jesus is trying to communicate, so that's where we're going to go. Now, when we think of the spiritual world, right, we naturally think of miracles and signs and wonders, kind of, you know, weird stuff. And that makes sense. If we're stuck in this physical reality and God lives in some kind of other dimension, you know, far away in an inaccessible place, that kind of makes sense. And so it's normal for us to think about the spiritual world or the supernatural in terms of, you know, science fiction, you know, that great genre and all the imagination that is applied to that. Or maybe that kind of half-human, you know, half-God thing like all the superhero movies, right? So the Avengers and stuff like that. You've got this kind of 50-50 thing going on. We have as a culture a fascination or a suspicion about the occult. And we're ready to believe almost anything where alternative therapies are concerned. You know, this will make your hair grow back. Oh, wow, I need some of that, you know. Somehow or other, we kind of take it all in because I think we think that, you know, we're stuck in this kind of physical realm and there's this other realm out there somewhere, right? And maybe there's a bit of crossover between them. And so, you know, our readiness to believe goes up. And Jesus understands that that's the way we naturally think. But the miracles, the signs and wonders, or whatever you want to call them, are always only ever a starting point. Right? A bit like a sign, you know, a dirty, great big sign that says, "Beware cliff." You know, the one you bang your head on as you duck under it to go and look over the edge? The sign is not the thing, right? It's a pointer to the thing. And so with the miracles and you know, the wonders and signs and so on, it's symptomatic of the presence of something else, in this case, the presence of the Holy Spirit within. Now, we didn't hear it read, but in our chapter, just verse 10, Jesus says this, "Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me, doing his work. Believe me then when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." Jesus can understand the difficulty we have. And he says, look, just at least look at the miracles, right? And draw some lines from there, you know, make some conclusions from there. See the sign and the reality that it points to. And so for us, as we engage in this series, the experience of the Holy Spirit, it is right for us to pray for healing or to pray for work or pray for the restoration of a relationship or to pray for any other help we or others might need. It's right to pray in that way and to expect miraculous answers, right? To expect God to work in answer to our prayers. But they're not the main thing. They're only external evidences of the presence of the Holy Spirit. God's real work is done within. And I don't know how you think about the book of Acts. You know, it's a rollicking yarn. I mean, there are shipwrecks. You know, there's beatings. There's escapes from prison. You know, it's a wonderful, kind of exciting, kind of, you know, gripping chapter by chapter experience of the early church. That is true. It's a book full of adventure and miracles. Except it's actually a book about the work of the Holy Spirit to transform the lives of the people we find mentioned in its pages. It's actually a book about the transformation of Peter, the strict Jew, and his embrace of the Gentiles. It's actually a story about Paul, the persecutor of the church, who becomes the apostle to the Gentiles. It's actually the story about the Philippian jailer whose families are all baptized, you know, in the one night when the jail is broken open. It's actually a story about Lydia, the dealer in purple cloth and the way she has a church in her house in Philippi. It's actually a story about Luke, the doctor, who comes on board as a Christian and writes the book of Acts. So it is with us. All the miracles we've experienced, all the answers to prayer we've experienced are good, and they encourage us to keep on pressing on in the Christian life day after day after day. But the transforming work of the Holy Spirit is done within. And that's the real story. Now, you know where we are. We're in that section of John's Gospel where Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples, right? This is his last meal with them. It's the meal that prefigures this, the Last Supper. He is going to leave the disciples and they are devastated. Chapter 13 and verse 33. "My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You'll look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so now I tell you, where I'm going, you cannot come." So they're devastated by that kind of announcement. But Jesus tells them that actually this news is good. It's better for them that he returns to the Father. In our chapter, verse 12, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. They will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father." Jesus' departure means a deepening of their relationship with God. I mean, I can't think of a relationship deeper than kind of, you know, hanging out with Jesus for 3 years, but he says, no, there's more. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He lives with you and will be in you. So here's the difference. The one who is with you will soon be in you. That's better. That's better. That's a step up. This is true not just of the Holy Spirit, of whom Jesus speaks, but of the Father and the Son as well. Continue down our reading to verse 23. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, they will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." So here's the picture. Jesus is with them 3 years. It's going great. He's leaving. Oh my goodness, think the disciples. Jesus says, no, 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 this is going to be better. Because not only will you have me beside you, you will have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit within you. It's going to be better than having me beside you, having me with you. And so my kind of hint this evening is, you know, if you get excited about answers to prayer and miracles and so on, I mean, that's good, but you want to get excited about something, get excited about this, having God living within you. Jesus says, "These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." So what does it mean to have God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit living within you? Well, from the passage, it means these few things. Miracles are no problem. Miracles are no problem. From verse 12, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. They will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." Right? That's a blank check. Miracles are no problem. Answers to prayer are no problem. Now, we're not quite sure how it works. Every time we try and make a rule about how it works, the Holy Spirit seems to break it, right? But the encouragement here is to pray with boldness and expectation. Just do it. What is the worst thing that could happen? Right? So that's the first outcome or benefit, if you like, of having God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwelling within. There is nothing with him that we can't do. Second thing that we can notice from the passage, verses 25 to 6, the Holy Spirit brings Jesus' words into our hearts. Now, you're reading the Gospels. I don't know what you think about the disciples. They seem to be a bunch of numbskulls most of the time, right? And Jesus is trying to tell them stuff and they're going, oh, I don't know. Right? Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, suddenly they seem a whole lot clearer about what's going on. And this is what Jesus is talking about here. "All this I have spoken while I am still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And again, this is another evidence of the way you ended up with your Bible. Jesus ascends, the Holy Spirit comes, he reminds them of everything Jesus has taught them, and they start writing it down. It comes to mind. It is present to them again because Jesus, Father, Son, and Spirit is within them speaking it out. Another thing you might have noticed as Graham read was that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And here's the answer to Pilate's well-worn question, what is truth? Right? Truth is what the Spirit says. And these words are recorded for us in our scriptures. Friends, the truth will set you free. It also means that we will see Jesus, verse 21 and the second half. "Those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." So again, as a Christian, you know, there should be no doubt about who Jesus is. Thomas had questions. The other disciples had seen Jesus resurrected. He hadn't. They'd seen his hands and his side. He wasn't having any of it until Jesus appeared again. And what does Thomas declare? "My Lord and my God." There's no question anymore. So it is with those of us who believe and receive. We will be absolutely clear about who Jesus is, for the Spirit will teach us. We will see Jesus. And of course, where the reading finished, we will have peace. We will have peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And if you're reading your Bible carefully, you'll see that's how this chapter began. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. For in my Father's house are many rooms. Okay? So he's topped and tailed it. Right? Peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled. So when God comes and lives inside of us, we have peace. It's not a worldly peace. It's not a peace that depends on the circumstances. It's not like, you know, a cruise ship peace where, there's hot and cold running waiters. No, no, this is a peace you can have in any circumstance. And I don't know how you go with your hero of faith stories. They're a great read. But, you know, there's always a story about someone who's in a concentration camp and has peace. And that not only enables them, it allows them to minister to others around them. Corrie ten Boom springs to mind. If you don't know about Corrie ten Boom, start reading. This is a peace that's available anytime, anywhere, in any situation. It's God's peace. And we'll finish the service tonight probably with these words, the peace of God that passes all understanding. And I've heard that described in this way, a peace from God that's better than the answer to all your questions, right? Better than understanding. We want to work everything out. No, no, no. There's something even better than that. It's peace. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit, famously described as the Paraclete in the kids' talk this morning. Well, it's Paraclete, and that's Counselor, Comforter, Advocate, Helper, Coach, Guide, all right? It's beside you. You've got the message. Someone who comes alongside. And this is the answer to all the disciples' anxiety, right? They're so anxious. Have you ever been with a young child when they're anxious? I mean, apart from hanging onto your leg, what do they do? Questions, 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 questions. Have you had that experience? From chapter 13 and verse 33 to the end of our reading, the disciples ask five questions of Jesus. Where are you going? Why can't we follow you now? How can we know the way? Show us the Father. Why will you show yourself to us and not to the world? Questions, questions, questions. They're so anxious. Jesus has told them he's going away. How will they continue without him? Had this wonderful experience. The first 2 days of this week, I went to Echuca to visit my oldest grandchild, Jemima. And we had so much fun, and I had dinner with them, and then I had to come back to Melbourne. And they were out saying goodbye, and they popped Jemima in the back seat. You know, she's like this big, right? There's nothing of her. Sits on the seat. You know, something new. And then Jemima's dad made the mistake of closing the car door. You know the sound a car door makes when you close it? Voomp, right? Now, she's only one, but she knows when you hear that sound, you're going somewhere, right? And she was not in her car. She was not in her car seat. She could not see her mum. And this kid went from, you know, happy and excited to inconsolable in half a second, right? Absolute gushes of tears and big whoa sound, okay? Something's not right. How will I continue without my mum? She was anxious. Maybe you're learning to drive, and those of you that have learned to drive, can you remember after you got your license going on your first drive on your own, right? Can you remember that? Man, that was pretty scary. And then I thought, in Moorabbin, we have the aircraft going over all the time. Imagine learning to fly and getting your license and then going up without the instructor. Imagine that, right? Imagine what a terrifying thought that is. Or maybe you're trying to find somebody's, you know, address at night time and the GPS packs up, right? You have no idea where you are. Reasonably anxiety-provoking. Or maybe you're adjusting to life without a loved one. Okay? Maybe they've moved away or maybe they've just died and gone. We want the comfort beside us. And to have that ripped away is extremely anxiety-provoking. We want that familiar voice beside us. But Jesus is saying it's better for us that he goes away. Because when he goes away, we won't have the familiar voice beside us. We'll have the familiar voice inside us. Inside us. Imagine sitting your final maths exam. I hope you're sweating, right? And having your maths teacher inside you, right? It'd be lumpy, a bit odd, but you would have no worries about the exam, right? Imagine you're doing your theological exam and you could have your lecturer inside you. I've got a story about my Greek exam. I can tell you that afterwards if you like, right? Or imagine, right, living life and all the crazy things it can throw at you with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit inside you. How confident would you be, right? That's what he's saying. That's why we can have this extraordinary peace that is independent of the circumstances. Because he's inside us, we can never be separated from him, and his wisdom and his power and his presence is available to us 24/7. So that we can obey him and so that we can do his will. If you love me, you will obey what I command. I don't know about you, but I think that's a bit tough. No, no, no. If you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwelling within, that's not tough. It's simply a matter of listening. Do you know how Paul describes you, Christian? Dear Christian? The temple of the Holy Spirit, right? Now, you know what the temple was? That's where God lived in the good old days, right? Well, he says, well, God lives. I know where God lives now, right? He lives in each believer. Each believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Friends, when you leave here tonight, God is not here. Even in an Anglican church, that is still true. Right? When you come, you bring him with you. And when you leave, he leaves with you. And you take him wherever you go. He is always with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. You are the temple of God, the dwelling place of God. You have the same power within you that Jesus had. You have the same wisdom within you that Jesus had. And that's why we describe our vision here at Ormond Anglican as being a transformed community sharing Jesus for a transformed city, because it's the Holy Spirit's work within. He's changed us everywhere we go. People meet a changed person. How encouraging, how exciting that is. And it doesn't depend on you. It's God's work. He has begun it. He will bring it to completion. All you have to do is listen and be willing to be look stupid and cooperate, right? It's a risk. Faith is a risk. It's not safe. C.S. Lewis's famous description of Jesus, right? Aslan the lion. Is he safe? No, he's not safe, but he's good. But he's good. How could we not love him? Right? How could we not love him? If you love me, you will obey what I command. Friends, ask the Holy Spirit to help you do his will. That's how this works. It's asking. Ask him to help you obey him, and you will know his peace, and you will rejoice in his closeness to you. The world cannot have this. It is your gift. It's your birthright. It's your inheritance. Expand into it and see what he will do. Words for